Okay, we're starting here at the top of Ayin Chet Amud Aleph. The Gemara says, the second line, Tanu Rabbanan, Hiku asara bnei Adam, v'asara maklot, umet. 10 men came along, and they hit an individual. All of them hit him, and he dies from the blows that are given to him. Ben bevat achat, whether they hit him simultaneously, ben bezeh achar zeh, whether it was sequentially, p'turim. All of them are patur. The Gemara will discuss in a second why that is. Rabbi Yehuda ben Matir omer, bezeh achar zeh, if they were sequential and not simultaneous, achron chayav. The last one is chayav b'nei shekiriv et mitato, because he's the one who gave the final death blow that actually caused the individual to die. Amar Rabbi Yochanan shnei mikra echad darshu. They both learned out their positions from the pasuk. Pasuk says, Ish ki yakeh kol nefesh adam. So ish ki yakeh kol nefesh adam. What does the kol nefesh mean? Rabbanan said, right, kol nefesh. What does it mean, kol nefesh? Adiko kol nefesh, until you kill the entirety of the individual. So over here, since each of the other nine is contributing to the death of the individual, no single person killed this victim. The victim was killed by the joint efforts of all the parties, and therefore nobody's going to be held culpable or being put to death by Beis Din because you require kol nefesh. Rabbi Yehuda ben Matir sevar kol nefesh, kol dehu nefesh. Kol nefesh doesn't require a full killing of the individual, but rather kol dehu nefesh. As long as you took the life force away from this individual, you'll be chayav. And since the last individual was the one who made the final blow that took away his life, he's the one who will be held culpable. Again, when they're simultaneous, then even Rabbi Yehuda will agree that we can't be mechayev them because that's a number of people doing the same action. And it says v'ish ki yakeh. When one individual kills, then we can put him to death. Not anashim, when it's multiple people that do it, then we can't put him to death. So even Rabbi Yehuda ben Matir agrees when it's simultaneous that we don't give the death penalty to all of them. Only when it's sequential and it's the final individual gives the death blow, they're there that Rabbi Yehuda ben Matir disagrees with the chachamim. So Amar Rava. So now Rava explains the positions. Everybody agrees that if you killed someone who's a trefa, someone that has any one of the trefot that are known, there is a machlokas in the Gemara whether a trefa can survive or not survive. But even according to the one who says that a trefa can survive, nevertheless, over here, they will be considered to be patur. With this, because eventually they will die from being a trefa. It's just not as immediate or it's not as impending. But nevertheless, and eventually you will die from it. So everybody agrees that if you killed a trefa, that you're patur. I mean, obviously, when we say patur, it means patur of al asur. Big goses bidei shemaim. When we're talking about a goses bidei shemaim, someone who's dying from natural causes, shu chayav. If you kill such an individual, then you're definitely chayav. Even though in the end they will end up dying, nevertheless, you push them over the edge. You're the one who caused the final death, and therefore you're going to be chayav. Lo nechluku the machlokes bein Rabbi Chachamim and Rabbi Yehuda ben Matir is eleba goses bidei adam, that the acceleration of this person's death is happening actually in the hands of others. So over here, in our case, there are nine other people who hit this individual and accelerated or caused him to be in a position where he could die. And then the tenth person hits him. So mar medami le trefa, the chachamim say that's like a trefa. A trefa is going to die anyway, and you just accelerate the death, or the individual one accelerates the death, they're not held culpable in that case. So do over here, nine people brought him to a position where he probably would die. He gives the final blow, the last man, the tenth man, gives the final blow. So fine, he accelerated it, but he didn't change the fact that this person was going to be a trefa, was going to die anyway. So therefore, they are patur, everybody's patur. Omar, Rabbi Yehuda ben Matir, is mendamele the goses bidei shamayim, that it's similar to a goses bidei shamayim. True, he's on his deathbed, but just like when he's on his deathbed from natural causes, and one pushes them over the edge and kills them, that they're chayav, so it's over here. So just because it was caused by outside forces, means caused by people to bring him to the point where he would die otherwise, but when the one individual goes ahead, the last individual, number 10, goes ahead and pushes him over the edge, he will be chayav. So, the one who compares him to a trefa, the chachamim, why don't they think he's like a goses bidei shemaim? Because goses bidei shemaim, lo tabe be masa. Goses bidei shemaim has no action that was taken against him. Everything's happening naturally. This person here, the reason that he is in a position where he might die is because other people have acted on him, have caused him to reach a point where he might die. Uman de midami le goses bidei shemayim, the one who compares it to goses bidei shemayim, meaning Rabbi Yehuda ben Matir, my time alone midami le trefa, why does he call him a trefa? Because he says, trefa mechatche simanim, right? That a trefa has a specific wound or injury that makes him into a trefa. Halo mechatche simanim, over here, this individual doesn't necessarily have any simanim or anything that's happened to him that makes him a trefa. He's just been wounded in a way, or he's been pummeled in a way that he will eventually die. He's a goses the mita, but doesn't mean necessarily that he is a trefa in this instance. So tani tanai kamei the Rav Sheshet. They're learning a friend of Rosh Hashanah. They brought the Braita. Ish ki akekol nefesh adam avi hamaket chaveiro vein bodukei hamit. This includes someone who hits his friend and it doesn't have the ability to kill him. Uva'acher v'mito. Then another individual comes along and gives him a blow that puts him to death. Shu chayav. That he's chayav. Ein bo k'dei lamit. Okay, if he doesn't have enough power in the blow to kill him, pshita that he's poter. Yeshbo k'dei lamit. So now the case is like this. It was yeshbo k'dei lamit. Had enough in the first blow to kill him. And then another person comes and kills him. Shu chayav. That is chayav. Ustama k'Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. That braisa is like Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira. That says that even though the first individual was giving him a blow that could have caused him to die, nevertheless, since he was not dead yet, and the second individual comes and kills him, the second individual is held culpable or accountable for that. And just like in Rabbi Yehuda ben Beteira's case, the tenth man will be brought to trial. So to over here, the second individual will be brought to trial. Amarava. Horegat a trefa patur. Someone who kills a trefa is patur because the person is a gavra katalohu. He's a walking dead man. So you're patur, obviously asur, but you're still patur over here. Trefa sharag bifnei beitin. Now a trefa himself that kills someone else. Now you have a dead man walking around who kills another party. So if he does it before Beis Din, he's chayav. Shalom b'dei Beis Din, he's patur. If it's not in front of Beis Din, he's patur. And Tosfos qualifies here, bifnei beitin means at a time during the day. In the daytime when Beis Din can't take him, adjudicate the case immediately, and they don't have to be rely on anybody's testimony, including the testimony of the judges. Bifnei Beit Din, chayav, why is he chayav when he kills, when the treifa himself kills another victim in front of Beis Din? Dichtiv, varta rami kerbecha. Because it is a command to Beis Din to remove all evil from amongst you or in your midst. This person did something, an action that was evil and ra, they have to take care of it right now. Whereas when it's not in front of Beitin, he's patur. The problem is that if witnesses come to testify against this individual, it will always be an edut that you cannot bring zomamim to undermine the first set of edim. Because even if you come along and bring zomamim and say, Imanu aitim, you, the first set of edim, you're with us. How can you be testifying against this individual? They will never be put to death. Because who they were trying to kill? They, by testifying against the murderer who's a treifa, they're trying to put a individual is a treifa to death. Since someone who puts a treifa to death is not chayav, so today, who tried to kill a treifa, they're not going to be chayav when someone else is mizamim them. So now you can't have testimony because there's a due process issue. The edim, we don't have witnesses because the witnesses have a technicality, which makes them into not witnesses, which is that they can never be zomimim. Since they can never be zomimim, they can't be real witnesses. We don't have witnesses, we can't put the individual to death. Vama Rava, Rava makes another statement. Hove et a trefa chayav. Someone who sodomizes a trefa, he is chayav. Trefa shirava bifnei beit din. A trefa who performs the act of mishkav zachar in front of beit din is chayav. Shalom bifnei beit din. If it's not in front of beit din, he's patur. Now bifnei beit din chayav. Again, for the same reason, yichtav v'yata rabbi kerbecha. There's a command to beit din to eliminate the evil from amongst us, or to eliminate people who are acting in an inappropriate manner. So here they were there, standing there. They know what happened. They have the command. They have the tzivui meit Hashem to do v'yata ra. On the other hand, shalom bifnei beit din patur. Da'ivel edut shi'etay yicholi zima. Because it's, again, a dut that you cannot have hazama on. It's the same problem that we had before, which is that you have two witnesses who come and testify to the fact that this treifa committed a mishkav zachar. So when they testify against him, and then other witnesses come and say, Manu aitim, how can you testify against him? We're never going to put those witnesses to death, because who they were trying to kill was a treifa. And killing a treifa is a person who kills a treifa outright is not put to death. Certainly the edim who are trying to kill him will not be put to death. So ha'atul amali. Rava's statement about Ritzicha and about Mishkav Zachar are identical. Why do I need both cases to teach me? So I know Hach, they're the same. So when I says, no, Arovet, Atrefa, it's Richele. Now we need the case where someone performs Mishkav Zachar on a Trefa. Maudotain, what I have thought, the Havi command the Mishamesh Mate, Velipater, I would think it's like having relations with someone who is dead, with a corpse. And in that case, someone who has relations with a corpse is Patur, again, Patur Valasur. Mashmalan, Mishum Hanahu, Vayit Lehana. So the problem, what is the ptur by a dead body? So Rashi brings this down, is aval roveh mate leka hana. There's no hana, why not? Shavar chamimuto. There's no warmth to the corpse. Velich luto. And moisture, benitztanein, is all cold. In a corpse, does not provide the feedback, even though it still allows the individual to perform the action. It doesn't give the feedback that's a hanoah of a human element on the other side. So because of that, you're patur. Whereas by a treifa, even though he is a gavra katalohi, even though he's a walking dead man, he's still alive in the sense that he's warm, he's has moisture, he has a fully functioning individual. Since he's a fully functioning individual, there is hana from the Mishkav Zachar with him, Zachor from him, and therefore the individual performs. Mishkav Zachor with him will be held accountable or be chayav. Fama Rava, Rava also says, Edim, Sheidu betreifa vehuzmu in aragim. Edim that testified against a treifa, and then they were found to be edim zomamim, they are not put to death. Again, for the same reason we had before, because when they testified, they're testifying against a dead man. So they can't be held, they can't be brought to trial and be given a death penalty if whoever they were testifying against was, and would have been killed, they would have been killing a dead man. But, edei treifa, they deem themselves that are treifa, shehuzmu, that were made into edim zomim neharagim, they will be killed. So now, if you have set, let's call this, we have a case, and then we have set A of edim that come and testify, and then we have set B of edim who are going to come and make them into edim zomim. So set A who come to testify, they are treifot. Those edim are treifot. So the fact that they testify to kill someone else, they're going to be held accountable for killing another individual, and therefore they can be put to death. So, when Edim Zomimim come and testify against them and say, Imanu Ayit them, we're going to put them to death. That's the position of Rava. Rav Ashi Amar, Afilu Edei Treifa Shuzmu Ein Aragin. Even this set A, who are Treifot, and then we had set B come and make them into Edim Zomimim, nevertheless, they will not be put to death. Why? Bisha Einon B'Zomimei Zomimim. They don't have Zomimei Zomimim. The Edim who come to testify against these Edei Treifa, their Edut is not a full-fledged Edut because they have a problem with that Edut. So set A, who are a Treifot, they testified in the case to try to put someone to death. Set B, Edim set B, come along and say, Imanu Aitim, how could you do this? So now set A should be put to death. The problem is set B, what happens if set C comes along and says to set B, Imanu Aitem, you can't testify against set A, you were with us, set C. So then what happens to set B? Over here, set B are not going to be put to death. Because who were they trying to kill? They were trying to kill the Edim, set A, who are Treifot. And we know when you try to kill a Treifa, you're not put to death. So that means the Edut of set B is an Edut she'iyata yechol lahazimah. Since it's an Edut she'iyata yechol lahazimah, therefore, Rav Ashi says, they are Pturim, and if that's the case, they're not really Edim. If they're not really Edim, they can't testify against set A. And therefore, Edei Treifa, Treifim, the Treifot that come to testify, they will also not be put to death. So now, what's the difference of what does Rava hold? Rav Ashi has a good claim. So Rashi claims that Rava holds that Kevan Edut Zomimim Chidushu, the fact that a second set of Edim, set B, can come and disqualify set A, but not only disqualify set A, but say, Imanu Itim, and put them to death, that's already a Chidushu. Even though general testimony, which is under the normal rules of testimony, there, if it's an Edut Shiatayacholi Azima, then it's not a good Edut. On the other hand, when you have Eidim Zomamim, set B, who come to make set A into Eidim Zomamim, that's all Chiddush Min HaTorah. They really are two sets of Eidim that are testifying against each other. They should be Eidet Mukheshet. They really should be arguing. We were there. We say we were, the first set A says we were there and we saw the case. Set B says you weren't there. So you have one, you have set A against set B, then it should be a, you know, a stalemate in that sense. But the Torah says no, set B wins and set A is put to death. So that is a chidush of the Torah. Since the Torah is already mechadesh, that set B can put set A together, there will also be relax some of the rules that are required for edut, which is that it has to be an edut she'ata yechol azima. That rule will also not stand in this case. So even though set B cannot be made into edim zomimim, nevertheless they still can make set A into edim zomimim. Amar Rava, Rava has another statement here. Shor treifa. This is a shor that is a treifa. Sheharag, that killed others. Chayav. He is chayav. But shor shel adam treifa, on the other hand, if the owner is a treifa, and then the animal, his animal kills, whether it's a treifa or not, kills, the animal will be patur. My time, amakra, hashor yisakel v'gambal av yumat. That the shor is stoned, the animal is stoned for killing, and the owners are also put to death. The death there, we know from the Gemara, means yumat, means bekofer, he has to pay for the demei, either nizak, the demei mazik, in order to get kofer. So, only if we can say we could put the owner to death, then the animal is given the death penalty. Anywhere we can't carry out, and over here, since the owner is a treifa, Gam balav yumat is not the case. He's already dead. We can't kill him because he's already dead. So since we can't kill him, since he's already dead, we can't carry out gam balav yumat. Therefore, we also will not carry out tashur yisakel, that the shur is put to death by stoning. Rav Ashi Amar, here Rav Ashi again argues on Rav and says, afilu shur treifa, nami sharag patur. Even a shur treifa itself, the shur itself that is a treifa, that kills his patur. Rav said he was chayav there, because what does it make a difference whether a shur is a treifa or not a treifa? Meaning that the, when we talk about a human being that's a treifa, then we can talk about issues of whether he's a dead man walking already. An animal, whether it's a treifa or not a treifa, makes no difference. We're talking about monetary compensation. You value the animal for what it is. If an animal is a treifa, then it's worth a certain amount of money. If an animal is not a treifa, it's worth even more money. But when you come to pay for the animal, or you come to compensate, over there when dealing with mamon, that it doesn't matter whether it's a treifa or not a treifa. Treifa or not a treifa just tells you how much you're going to pay for it. Doesn't tell you that, or we don't classify the animal as being dead, because we're talking about monetary issues when it's an animal. The human being a dead man, has implications in terms of your ability both to testify and your ability to be the victim in a case. And therefore, if he's a dead man walking, it has implications. So Rav Ashi says that even by a short treifa that kills, it also is patur. By my time, I came to you, balim avi p'tirei shoranami patur. Because if the owners had done something, or if this factor was apparent in the owners, he would be patur. So too, when it happens, or this factor is a part of the shor, then he's also patur. From the same hekesh that we say, begam balav yumat, that the gam balav yumat teaches you, just like the shor, the owner, if he's a treifa, the shor would be patur. So too, if the shor is a treifa, he would also be patur in this case. Even though, again, Rava holds that a shor treifa is that kills his chayav. And even though he has the hekesh between the mita of the balim and the mita of the shor, Mar Baba Kama, Rava has to agree to that hekesh because of certain dinim that we learn out from it. Over there, the person is patur when he's a treifa, is because it's an educhi atay cholizima. By shor, there's no relevance to the fact that there's no educhi atay cholizima. So even though there is this hekesh between the shor and the owner, nevertheless, in our case, we could separate the reasons. The reason for the owner is a technicality. Technically, the owner should be able to be put to death. There's a technicality that's an educhi atay cholizima, so we don't put him to death. But that doesn't mean that the owner is really not chayav mita or gam balav yumat. On the other hand, the shor, we could. There's no technicality. There's no din of eidut. There's not a din of eidut sheitai yichol izima. So therefore, Rava holds, even though he holds of the hekesh, nevertheless, he'll say this is an exception to that case. Because the tour for the Adam is a technicality in due process, nothing to do with the killing in this instance. Whereas the shor doesn't have that technicality. On the other hand, Rav Ashi says, no. The din of the shor is exactly like the din of the baal. If the baal is a treifa, he's patur. So to the shor, if he's a treifa, he will be patur. So that was the last case in our Mishnah that we had before, which is that Shisa Boet, if he sicks the dog on the individual, or he puts a nachash onto the arm of the individual, there we had a machlokas. So Amar Rav Acha bar Yaakov Shetim Salamar, the Divrei Rabbi Yehuda, according to Rabbi Yehuda, Eres Nachash Ben Shinav Omeid, that the venom of a snake is already inside of his fangs. And therefore, the Fikach, therefore, if you place if an individual places the snake on the arm of his friend, then Mekish, the Gizri here probably is Meshich Besaif, the one who killed him is like a rotzeach, and he gets a din of saif. And the nachash is patur, because the nachash didn't do anything. The individual's owner, whoever took the nachash and placed it on the victim, he's the one who did all of the action. The divrei chachamim, on the other hand, the chachamim believe, eres nachash me'atzmohu meki, that the venom of a snake only comes in after the fangs have been placed, have bitten. So therefore, when the individual comes and puts the snake on the victim, the fact that he placed it, or he had the snake bite the individual, has no impact. There's nothing that in his action that causes the death. The venom that comes in afterwards, that's what causes the death, and that's all grama. And that's what Rashi says over here, l'fikach grama ba'almahu, it's only a grama, afo pishi odea sofo laki. Even though we know for certain, it's a psik reshe, that when the fangs are in there, the poison will come. Nevertheless, it's lav mikocho mait. It's not his action that causes the death. It's the snake's action that causes the death. Even though he's the one who created the circumstances around it, that's still classified as a grama. Now, again, the fact that it's not classified as a koach, it's not classified enough of a koach to put him to death. It's patur, but we say, again, asur. And in other instances where we're looking for koach, this might be classified as a koach adam, even though it has a patur by mita. So lefikach, in our case, according to Rabbana, nachash peskila, nachash gets the death penalty because he killed a human being. Any animal that kills a human being gets skila. And the meshich, the one who placed the snake on the individual, is patur, because again, he's doing it, it's derech rama, and not directly his action. Right now, the new Mishnah, amaket chavero, ben be'evin, ben be'egruf, someone who hits his friend, whether it's with a stone or with a fist, v'amdu'a lamita, and we come to Bezin, Bezin says that he's going to die from the blow. Ve'kil. But then he got better. Even though Bezin had considered or thought that he would die from the blow, nevertheless, he managed to make a recovery. B'mashaya, he makes a recovery. And afterwards, he falls back to being bedridden and being sick enough, umate, and he dies. So chayav, in that case, the Tanakam believes chayav. The fact that he got better in the interim does not undermine the fact that it was the original death blow that killed him. So yes, he got a little better, but then he fell and he died from the original blow. On the other hand, Rabbi Nechemia says, patur, shiraglam the davar. Rabbi Nechemia says, no, he's patur. Why? Because there's evidence here, circumstantial evidence, that the death blow is not what killed him. If the death blow was to kill him, he would have died originally by the death blow. The fact that he got better in the interim shows you that he got better, and why he died was from another sickness or from another ailment or complications, but not from the original death blow. So, Tana Rabbana, Etzut Arash Rabbi Nechemia. Where does Rabbi Nechemia know his din from, that if he gets better, then we don't consider it as if he's killed him? Right? Because it says, Im Yakum Vitalech Bachutz Amishanto Vinika Ha Makeh. So it says over here that if the individual, Im Yakum, here was a death blow that was given. This is in the Parshat Mishpatim. It says he gives a death blow. And then afterwards, the victim, Im Yakum, if he gets up, Vitalech Bachutz, and he walks around Amishanto. Amishanto means of his own volition. He walks around. He doesn't need any help. He's able to walk around on his own 2 feet. Vinika Ha Makeh. Then the individual who had given the blow will be patur. Now, b'chit alei adatcha shezem halech b'shuk v'zeh ne'harag. What's the havamina? I mean, if the victim is walking around the shuk, why would you kill the one who hit him? The one who hit him only gets a death penalty because he killed the victim. Over here, the victim didn't die. If the victim didn't die, of course the perpetrator of the crime, or the one who hit him, is going to be patur. Ah, so why does the Torah say over here, v'nika ha'makeh? Why does it say nika ha'makeh? Ela zesh amdu al mita, that originally thought he was going to die from the blow, v'hakel, and he got better, mimashaya, ula achar kach ikbidu meit, then he got worse again and died, shu patur, that's v'nika ha'makeh, that's the case here. The case is that he got up, walked around, looked like everything was fine, and then he dies. So then we say, according to Rabbi Nechemia, if he got better, it says v'nika ha'makeh, everything's fine, if everything's fine, then he doesn't get the death penalty. Rabbanon, what about the Rabbanon who say you do get the death penalty here? We assume that it was from the original blow that he died. What do they do with Vinikamakeh? Mar Darshibe? Pamed Shechov Shimroto. That teaches us that we put him into prison. Vinikamakeh means only after the individual is healthy do we let him, Vinikamakeh, he's free to go. That means until that point, the time he was not free to go. Where was he? He was put imprisoned until we see the outcome of the victim. So Rabbi Nechemia Chavisha Minale. Rabbi Nechemia, how does he know that we imprison the individual? We incarcerate the individual until we know what the status of the victim is. So he's the Alek Mimokoshesh. Learn it out from the Mokoshesh Etzim in the Midbar who is being put to death. Because over there it says by the Mokoshesh Etzim that they put him in the Mishmar. They put him in the, incarcerated him to see what to do. So Rabbanan Nami Lilfei Mimokoshesh. So why did the Rabbanan learn it from there? Mokoshesh Bark Talo. The Mokoshesh is not a same case as what we're talking about here. The Mokoshesh was definitely Chayav Mita. But we just didn't know what mitah to give him. In our case over here, we're not sure that the person who gave the blow is chayav mitah whatsoever. The case of Mekoshesh Etzim, he was chayav mitah for sure. We just don't know which mitah to give him. There they put him, incarcerated him to find out which mitah. But in a case where we don't even know if the individual is chayav mitah, maybe there we would not incarcerate them. So we can't learn it out of Mekoshesh. Rabbi Nechemia, Yalei from Megadev. Okay, learn that from Megadev. By the Megadev, Toyadai Ibarktala. Right there, you don't even know if he's a Barktala. Mekoshesh, the Megadev, which is in this week's parsha that we just read in Emor, the end of Emor. Over there, they also put him in the Mishmar because they have no idea what to do with him. So, Chbechavshua. And then they incarcerated him. So over here, again, they didn't know what to do with him, and yet they incarcerated him. Rabbanan, Megadev, Horat, Sha'ad, Haita. The Megadev was an exceptional case. They didn't know the din. Since they didn't know the din, they had to incarcerate him. But where we do know the din, then we won't incarcerate the individual. We just didn't know. So that was a Horat, Sha'ad. Kedetani, Babraisa, Yodea, Moshe, Rabbeinu, Shemekoshesh, Bimita. Moshe really did know that the Mekoshesh gets the death penalty, Shenamar, because he already knows that from Sefer Shemot, Shenamar Mechalala Mochimat, those that violate the Shabbos will be put to death. Eloi Yada Be'ezamita Ne'erag, they didn't know which death penalty they gave, Shenamar Kilo Forash, Mayaselo Forash means it wasn't explained. Not they didn't know the din, but they needed more explanation. They need clarification about the din. What's the clarification? Which din of death penalty to get him? Now, even though in general, when in the Torah says mochimat and doesn't tell us what the execution should be or what the death penalty should be, we assume it's chenek because that's the stam mitam in the Torah is chenek. So why don't we just say he gets chenek over here? What was Moshe's avamina that he shouldn't get chenek? So that Tosfos says here's the avamina. So that by Mechal Shabbos, since Mechal Shabbos has a din of an Oved Avodah Zarah, we would thought he'd have the same din as an Oved Avodah Zarah that gets Skila. Because a Mechal Shabbos Befresya is Kofer Beikar. Someone who openly and wantonly violates the Shabbos Befresya, he has a din of a Kofer Beikar, the Kofer B'Maseh Breshit. And therefore that individual might have the same status as Avodah Zarah, Kofer Beikar, and he would get Skila. So that's what Moshe wanted to clarify. Does he get chenek or does he get skila? So that was clarified by a Kodesh Baruch Hu. Rabbi Kiv Eger asks on Tosfos, so okay, based on you, the only uncertainty would be if he was Mechalel Shabbat B'Farhesya. If he was Mechalel Shabbos, right, Shalom B'Farhesya, and it wasn't a Kofar B'Ikar, Moshe would have known what the death penalty was? How would he have known what the death penalty was? He would have assumed that it was chenek? So now that would turn out that if someone's Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesya gets Skila, Mechal Shabbos B'Tzinah only gets Chenek. We don't have such a differentiation. All of the death penalty for Shabbos is singular in that it's all Skila. The Rekiv Ega says maybe in the end the fact that a Mechal Shabbos B'Tzinah also gets Skila is that Kosh Baruch Hu agreed to the logic of Moshe Rabbeinu, and that's Vara, that Dav B'Farhesya. But in Tzinah, he didn't know the din. That logic's right. You're right. If it had been Mechal Shabbos B'Farhesya, you would have known the din to go by Skila. You're right, Moshe. But what about Mechal Shabbos B'Tzinah? We wouldn't know what the din is. And that's what along comes the Kodesh Baruch Hu says, yes, Moshe, your svara is right. Now that your svara is right, we're going to apply it even to a Mechal Shabbos B'Tzinah. So now, that's the case by the Mekoshesh Etzim, Aval Megadeif. Megadeif that's found in the end of Parshat Emor. Over there, Lo Ne'emar Bo Ela L'Faresh Lehem Al Pi Hashem. There we need to get all the information from Hashem. So, Ayah Moshe Yadeim, who ben mita kol ikar yim lav. They didn't even know if he's deserving of the death penalty or not. So now the Gemara says, Bish, Lama the Rabbi Nechemia, Ainu Diktivei Trei Umdane. So that's Umdane. That the reason that Rabbi, in the Pasuk that deals with, in Parsha Mishpatim, that deals with these possibility of a death penalty, there's two assessments. So I'll read you the Psukim. It says, V'chi Yervun Hashem V'yika Ishet Re'eu Be'evno Be'grof. Then it says, V'lo Yamut V'nafal L'mishkav. So the first one is V'lo Yamut. He doesn't die. That's one. Now, Im Yakum V'italech Bachut Amishanto V'nika Ha'makeh. So there, if he gets up, V'nika Ha'makeh, that he will be made innocent. So you have twice that the Torah says V'lo Yamut, right? And the other one it says V'nika Ha'makeh. So you have two Umdenut. So now, according to Rabbi Yirmiyahu, we have two types of Umdenut. Amdu L'mita V'chaya. If they assess him to die and he lives, therefore he's patur. V'chad Amdu L'mita V'akel Mimashaya. The other cases where they assessed him to die, and then Vakel Mishaya, and then he got better, and then he, in the end, ended up dying. So therefore, you need two types of umdenot. Here, you need two umdenot, two assessments of paying money. One assessment, which they originally said that he would die, and then they realize that he's going to survive, and he does survive. So the cases where originally they thought he would die, he survives for a little bit, and then he dies. In both those cases, are going to Ribia, we need a monetary compensation, so I need umdenah for each of those cases. Whereas according to the Chachamim, right, the Rabbanan, Trei umdenah lomali, why do I need two umdenot according to the Chachamim? Chadam du on the mita v'chaya. So that's the case. What is it? One, where they assess the value, he thought he was going to die. And then he ends up living. The other case is where they assessed him for to be alive and that he would survive, and then he ends up dying. So that's the other case. And they're reading the Pasuk a little differently. They're reading the Pasuk that says, right, they assess him that he wouldn't die, and in the end he does die. So what's the din over there? There is patur also, because the original assessment was that he'd be patur, and therefore you can't bring him back. Once you've been poter, the individual, you can't bring him back. And that's exactly what Yirmiyahu says back to them. He says, I don't need a pasuk to teach me if they originally assessed him to be patur because he didn't give him a death blow, and then he ends up dying. That is, you don't even apostle to teach you. That's a svara. Shayatsami beit din zakai. We have a din that a person who leaves beit din zakai doesn't come back. We don't bring him back once he's left. Right, benaki betzadik al tarok. that the Naki or a Tzaddik, whether he's rightfully been dismissed or he was made innocent, even incorrectly, we don't bring him back. So that's logical. I don't need that. So one umdana, I need the two umdana. So where the two umdana for? According to Rabbi Yirmiyah, two umdana for cases where he was going to die, he was supposed to die, and he survives, either permanently survives or survives for a small period of time. Each one of those requires an umdana to determine what type of monetary damages are going to be paid. According to Chachamim, then, since in the case where he survives and then dies afterwards, you do not pay, there's a death penalty, of course you're not going to be paying money, so there's only one umdana. The umdana is where he originally assessed him to death, and he survives. And after he survives, we go and assess the monetary damages, and he has to pay up the monetary damages. The Chachamim come up with a second case, whereas if he's alive, they originally assessed him to be alive, and then he dies, that he's not chayav in that case. Rami thinks that's logical. The Chachamim are learning that out from the Pasuk. So, Tan Rabbanan, Amaket Chaveiro, person who gives a blow to his friend, v'amdu lamita, it was a death blow, they thought he would die from it, v'chaya, and then he survives, potrimoto, when he goes out, we let him go, because he's no longer going to die, the individual, the victim, is not going to die, so of course he's potur, amdu lamita, they originally assessed that he was going to die, the victim, v'akel, mimashaya, then he got better, omdimoto, omed sheni lamamon. We do a second assessment to say what are the monetary damages over here. For the marchar kein hichbid. Afterwards, he got worse. Umed, and then he died. He had some sort of relapse of whatever it was originally, and he dies. Then halach achar umad or the omed haemtzai. You go after the middle assessment. Divi Rabbi Yechemia. Rabbi Yechemia says you go after the second assessment because Rabbi Yechemia is of the position that if a person was originally assessed to die, then gets better, and then eventually dies, perpetrator of the crime, the murderer, is not given the death penalty over here because he's not considered to be the one who murdered him. There was some exogenous variable that got in the way because he got better. And if he was going to die from the original blow, he should have died early on. The fact that he didn't is indicative that there's something else that's causing him to die. So Mechemia says we go with the second assessment, which tells me how much money he owes. If he's not going to be put to death, he still has to pay the money, he has to pay the damages of what he did. The Chachamim say you don't have two assessments. The original assessment's the only assessment, there are no other assessments. So in the case where he gets better, right, the original assessment was for mita, and then he gets better, right, then we say, okay, he's got to pay the compensation. Whereas in the case where he originally was assessed for mita, gets better, and then dies, there we say that again that the original umad stands, and since the original umad stands, he's going to be put to death. The murderer is going to be put to death here because the victim died according to the Chachamim. Tanya Yidach, we have another braisa that says, amdu al mita, that it says that he was going to die, umdim oto lechayim. Then if we find him getting better, then we say, okay, let's do a new assessment to say that he's alive. L'chaim, im odim l'mita. On the other hand, if they originally assessed him to live and he dies, we don't do a second umda that is the mita to poter him from the mamon. So amdua l'mita, right, if they originally assessed that he was going to die, v'akel mimashaya umdimoto, they do a second assessment for pay compensation. Omeid sheni lemamon. This one is to assess how much money he's going to own. V'imachakeni yichbid v'meit. If everybody dies, mishalem nezek tzar liyoshim. Then he's going to pay or compensate the yoshim. He has to pay the yoshim over here because he's now chayav in mamonot to this individual. The individual dies, he's got to compensate the yoshim. Meitaya meitay mishalem. When does he pay from? Mishah shiko, from the moment that he hit him. We don't say, look, originally we assessed him to die. The victim was going to die and he was going to be on death row. So therefore he's patur for that part of time. When the victim starts to get better, also we do a second assessment and say, okay, now you have to give compensation, you have to pay because there is no death. The victim is not going to die. So from what point do we start assessing the value that he has to compensate for? So you would have thought maybe from the second assessment, because that's from the point of time where he's no longer a bar ktala, the rotzeach, the murderer here, is not considered to be the murderer because at that moment, because until that point we thought he was a murderer, and now all of a sudden he's changed his status. No, Lisenberg says no, that we go back to the original moment. Since he's no longer a murderer, then we say the diminishment or the value destruction that was caused here has to be compensated from the moment of the blow. Ustamak Rabbi Nechemia. This braita is obviously like Rabbi Nechemia, who says that when you have a death blow that is considered to be for him to die, and then he gets better and dies afterwards, there you're not chayav mita. You're not considered a murderer to be chayav mita. You have to do compensation. In that case, the compensation, the second umad will make a difference. As opposed to the Chachamim, who think that there is no second umad. If he's already assessed for death, That's it. Was assessed for death and gets better. Then when he gets gets worse afterwards, then we don't make a second assessment. It's only when we know for certain that he's going to live that we make a second assessment that we make compensation. But when there's an uncertainty, and then when he dies later, that second assessment is not of value. Tosfos just points out a point here. He's just a little strange. He says that Rashi says over here that in either case he's going to pay money. That if we originally assessed him to live and then he dies, and then we say, you've got to compensate, because the original assessment was for monetary compensation. You've got to compensate, even though he died in the end. On the other hand, if you assess him for death at first, and then he gets better, and we assess him that he's going to live at this point, then you also have to compensate. So Rashi says, in either case, you're going to end up compensating, because there is no death penalty. Then Tosfos says, wait, why should this be any different than Mita Shokugim? You don't have to get the death penalty to be patur from paying mamon. You're patur from mamon if the victim dies. If the victim dies, even in the case of Shogig, the victim dies, the person who killed is patur from mamon. So why don't you say the same thing here? If the original assessed them to live, the victim to live, and therefore he's chayav compensation, the murderer is chayav compensation, or the attempted murderer here is chayav compensation, then the victim does die. So when the victim does die, why don't we say he's patur? Why does Rashi say that you continue to compensate him? Why should this be any worse than mita shogim? If the victim dies, you should be patur. The one who killed should be patur from the mamon. So Tosfos says, he thinks over here, possibly, that he should be patur. Because the reason that he's patur from the mita over here has nothing to do with the fact that he's found innocent. He's patur from mita here is because they originally exonerated him in Beit Din and said that this individual, the victim, was going to live. So truthfully, he is a murderer. The exoneration is only because of a technicality that they already had exonerated and made him into an innocent, and therefore they can't bring him back to make him guilty. But nevertheless, he is the murderer. If he's a murderer, he should be patur from mamon. So that's Tosfos' question on Rashi, that maybe in that case, you should not be chayav mamon. Okay, we'll stop over here.